Hello, and welcome to episode 9 of DG Game Night, where we have presently zero viewers. About par for the course. We are 10 minutes late getting started. And so hopefully, Brian, maybe tweet us out something out there saying we've started.
Sure, I'll do what I can.
That'd be awesome. Or somebody else with social media capabilities to say, hey, we're going. Anyway, tonight we have Cam Banks, who is going to run us through. He's our lead designer. He's going to run us through tonight another playtest of the Demon Hunters role-playing game, A Comedy of Terrors. But before we begin, I want to give our big shout out for our Kickstarter right now that's going on, as if there wasn't enough Kickstarters happening all over the time. But this is Demon Hunters related because we are doing pilot season. These are 4 pilot episodes. One of them includes Demon Hunters Red Tape. As you can see, the goal is $150,000. We are at $33,644. We have a long way to go, but we have 25 days to do it so far. And so Demon Hunters Red Tape, you could play that video and check out all the other ones. Easiest way, you certainly can go to the DG Facebook page or Zombie Orpheus Facebook page. Our cover graphic has that on it there with a link. Otherwise, just go to Kickstarter and enter in the search box pilot season, and you'll find us. That's quite easy. And give us a pledge. Even a dollar helps. And so Demon Hunters Red Tape is going to take us with Gabriel. Gabriel is going to be the star, so played by Nathan Rice. And it is what if Gabriel was in charge of sort of the office, like Steve Carell. So,
what do you mean, what if he was?
Yeah. I mean, it answers that question. Yeah. So, kind of a police station comedy with, you know, monsters and demons, and but in a, you know, what you might find in a cubicle setting. But also we have The Gamers, this series, a brilliant imaginative title, let me tell you. But it tells you, I guess, everything you need to know. Yeah. So the original cast from the original Gamers are reprising their roles, and we get to see what happened to their old characters in the real world. And for those who had never seen it before, it's going to be awesome. The backstory is going to be there, and there's 2 other shows, and you can go check them out at Pilot Season on the Kickstarter. Okay, so coming back to the topic on hand, we have now gained 3 viewers, 5 viewers. Wow, exponential growth. Cam.
Yes.
So, how do we basically play?
How do we play? Well, you folks pretend to roll dice, and then I interpret what happens as a result.
Right. Sounds good.
Oh, what is this pretend business? It seems like right out of the gate you're not trusting us.
Brian always rolls them properly on his device, tablet, / phone thing.
I'm straight. Actually, you know what? I got for reals dice this time. Very excited.
Wow.
What appears to be a dragon nutsack.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I actually got Nathan Rice for his birthday last year a kangaroo nutsack for dice. Because apparently you can buy those.
Like a kangaroo does not like having the nutsack be on sale, but what can the kangaroos do about it?
That's right.
It's hopping.
Yep, it's hopping. All right, so we have tonight playing Jack Bishop. This is Brian Lewis.
This is Brian Lewis. These are both true statements. That is right all.
Jack Bishop is our chapter leader, the leader of this crazy band of demon hunters. We also have Chris Dupenthaler with us, as always.
Howdy.
Chris is playing the nebulous and strange Vlad.
Vlad, at your service.
He's got people for that and makes small governments disappear.
I see no small government here.
I see.
Only big government, very big government.
Right.
Taxes.
Although I think Vlad was recently kidnapped by spies. Very strange. Jimmy McMichael is playing the offspring of Gallagher. This is hello. Playing Ursula.
Ursula.
Wielding the Sledge-O-Matic. And we have our team Cypher, John Razor.
Hello.
And playing the most boring character in the possible in the Demon Hunters world, but she yet still makes it very interesting. As our hub and connection to the Brotherhood database. And tonight, since we only have three team members plus a Cypher, Silent Jim, played by myself, will be guest starring.
Ooh! And
we will leave it to Cam to decide why the hell I'm there.
Doesn't he outrank me?
Yes. Well, we will throw out an interesting loophole with this. Anytime someone rolls a demon die in the game, which you will be doing a lot.
Yes.
Because demon dice are there for you to use. Any number that comes up 6 will make Jim go off and do something else.
I like it. All right, so you long talked about demon dice.
What? I guess we'll find out.
We'll
find out. So, you brought up demon dice. Let's talk about how demon dice work.
Okay, well, there are two kinds of dice in the game. There are faith dice. Everyone starts with 3 of those. And before you roll your dice...
And specifically, both of these dice are D6s.
Yes, that's correct. You will be rolling 2 dice at any time. One of them is going to be an attribute, an approach, I should say, with your flashy and forceful and so forth. They're all very descriptive. They describe how you're doing something, how your action is taking place, and you also roll a discipline die, which is kind of like a skill set or background kind of deal.
Correct.
I'm trying to pull up my thing here.
I got you covered. Okay, so for an example, you can see that Jack Bishop here has all these approaches, like so, and then some over yonder. And so he will choose, anytime he needs to do an action or do something, he will pick an approach, a.k.a. a way to do it, and take that associated die and combine it with a discipline over here, and then he may utilize a stunt if it applies, which is a little sentence down here. There are 2 of them. Continue.
Yes. You also have, each character has 5 aspects.
Oh,
and
yes.
If you think an aspect is going to come into play, you right can spend here a faith die and kind of narrate why, which aspect you're using. For example, if Jack is trying to stick it to the man by doing something, for example, if Jim shows up and says, hey, I've got a mission for you, and Jack says, no, we're on a mission, you should go get lost. He might be trying to convince Jim to do something else, and he might want to use a faith die to invoke sticker to the man. That just means that's a way to describe how you use your faith dice, because the faith die is a die you roll as well as the other 2.
Incidentally, Silent Jim, in this example, could utilize Brian's stick-it-to-the-man mm-hmm. to work it against him if the situation warranted it.
Oh, so done.
I don't know how that would be. Yes.
So, the long and the short of it is, when you roll your dice, you're trying to get a number that I tell you. Normally it's 10. And if you don't get 10, you want to try and roll 10. If you don't get it and you've already spent a faith die, you may try, if you like, to tempt fate by grabbing a demon die, of which I have untold amounts in front of me.
That's right. So each of you has a welling pool of demon dice that are D6s, and they spit out three of them in front of you at any given point. And you may grab one, two, or all three, and you may use multiple attempts until they are all used up to get the number you want. Then, upon using your demon dice, you will symbolically transfer them to the Dungeon Master.
To me. I will take them off you. Thank you for using them.
Mm-hmm. And then he will in turn use them against you.
Yep.
Later on.
Carry on.
So, say for instance, these are my demon die, right?
Yes.
Is there a benefit before I roll the rest of my die to roll them, you know, or can I roll my normal die and then roll the demon die? I know that I can do this before and after. I'm guessing what I'm saying is so before I know what my regular die are.
Demon dice are rolled after you've rolled your main dice.
Oh, always. Okay. Yep.
Always. Faith dice are rolled before you roll your main dice. You can spend a faith die to re-roll one of your two core dice, however. If you don't like your outcome, spend a faith die and re-roll one. And the die isn't spent as a dice to roll. You just kind of make it go away, and it allows you to re-roll. So if you rolled Flashy and Mystic Arts and got twos in each of them, and you thought that was crap, then you might spend a faith die to re-roll the D10 Flashy.
Yeah.
And hope to get a different number.
Now, on that note, when we talk about rolling ones, when you roll a one on your approach die, is it both approach and discipline, or is it
either,
just
one? Either one.
Either one. Okay, so when you roll a one on your approach and or your discipline, you earn a faith die.
Yeah.
If you roll a 1 on your faith die roll, you get it back. It is not spent. If you roll a 1...
Oh, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, I was getting that. So if you roll a 1 on a demon die, you need to tell the DM, the GM, the CAM, and he will... Basically, bad things happen. Yeah.
Rolling 1 is up. Should we use Demon Master? That sounds great.
Demon Master.
Yeah.
Demon Master.
There we go.
Demon Master. Copyright 2015.
That's right.
Dead Gentleman Productions.
It's Demon Hunters, so Demon Master makes sense. I like it. Master of Demons.
Yes, I like it when you roll ones in the demon dice, because that's the cost of the temptation.
Yes. Now, Cam... We've seen it in the past, in a couple of weeks, where, especially in the playtest, a lot of the playtesters are scared shitless to use the demon dice. They think something really terrible is going to happen.
Right.
We should talk about that.
Something terrible is going to happen only if you roll a one, really. That'll be an immediate terrible thing. However, it's true that I'm saving up the dice to use against you, but I use them the way you use faith dice.
Right.
So I can't use my aspects until I get demon dice from you. So I really want you to use demon dice a lot. So I will sometimes deliberately make things harder for you just so you have to use them.
Mm-hmm. And so, and Cam's got a little bit of a... He's got a table that he can roll his demon dice on as well to add some more extra... nastiness to the situation, but it's not the end of the world, folks. It's encouraged. It's sort of a give-and-take, ebb-and-flow situation with the story, so if you are playtesting out there and are too scared to try it, try it. You should try it and see how much fun it actually is.
That's right.
The peer pressure.
Yeah. Try Demon Dice at home. You tell your parents that you want to try Demon Dice.
That's right.
Oh, one other thing about the Demon Dice.
First one's free.
Yeah. Here's a free Demon Dice. The thing that's important about the rolls, if you roll five or more over what you want to get, it's called a success with style. So you want sometimes to do even better than normal. So if the target number was a 10 and you rolled an 11, maybe you want to do really well, so you roll an extra demon die and hope to get that 4 or more. That's one of the reasons why you might want to use them.
Right.
Sometimes greatness only comes at the cost of your soul. Or something.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
I've been reading out of Illuminati now, haven't you?
I think I'm good. Is everybody ready?
Yeah. Let's do this.
All right, Cypher.
Yes.
As always, you're the one who gets the warnings / mission reports / everything else comes in on your virtual feed. Last time you had an interesting experience when someone tried to contact the team via Tinder.
Yes.
Nothing quite so spectacular this time. It's a regular old mission from upstairs.
That's good. What is the mission exactly?
It is a cover-up. You are supposed to go and cover up, in quotes, a supernat manifestation which is happening at an Italian restaurant on the shores of Lake Michigan.
We have a mission.
If I wasn't kidnapped, I'd have a guy for that.
Just somewhere, wherever he is, Vlad sits up like, damn it, now, I know people.
Oh, carry on.
No. I was going to kind of bring up the fact that, like, he's gone right now. Is he actually gone still, or?
No.
No, he's here.
Don't worry. I had a guy for that.
Chuck's a popcorn guy. Shut up, Vlad.
I think Vlad's still acting as if he's been kidnapped.
Like someone who covers his eyes.
I was taken by aliens, I tell you.
What's the reverse of Stockholm Syndrome? I have this fence. Please leave me alone. Okay. So the place is called Pesca Casa Salsa. And it's a well known to the people who go there, but not very well known to anybody else. That's fine. As we have established, you are close to Michigan. Well, you're in Michigan. The fabulous state where everyone who is assigned here slowly goes mad with despair and other things that start with D.
Mostly Detroit.
It's also apparently some sort of nexus of extra-dimensional nastiness. Those things crop up once in a while. But important for you is that you have your team right now as it stands, because anyone else who would otherwise be here is off doing something else. So, Jack, your only available people are Ursula, the Cypher, and Vlad, newly returned from Spy Stockholm.
Yes. Oh, the ones the most skilled in nuance and covering things up. Great. Well, Vlad, our way over. I assume we're going over there now. I'm not terribly familiar with the art of covering things up and making things go away. Do you have any tips for us?
Yes. Dead men do not talk.
Really? Yeah, I could have sworn I heard like the opposite of that little adage.
No.
I'm sorry. I thought you said dead men do talk.
Oh, dear.
So, all right. The cover with large building materials.
We cover
blanket with smallpox. Cement shoes. Hmm?
Cover with a smallpox blanket and untruths, is that what you said?
Yes.
All right, well, you get into the mystery machine. What is it? What vehicle do you currently have, Jack, that you have absconded for the purpose of demon hunting?
I really like that van that we had before.
It's a cool beat-up van. Isn't it a white van?
Well, this is actually, I think, a new van. This is another new prototype. I had to start tinkering around with, kind of a new thing, because I think the other one got destroyed, or it's in the bottom of an ocean or something like that.
Frequently blows up. What color is this van?
What now?
What color is
color.
It?
Oh, what color? I'm going to go with Ninja Turtle Green.
Perfect.
All right, and who's driving?
The Cypher?
That's the fantastic. All right.
I can certainly try.
All right. So without a whole lot of actual prep or any real understanding of what to do, Jack leads his fearsome trio of agents, Lakewood. There is some kind of shipyards kind of thing, a place where ships come in and very stout men work as stevedores or whatever else they do on docks. They're very burly and dangerous-looking men, and these men are the most frequent patrons of Hesca Casa Salsa, or the House of Fish Sauce. I looked it up. It's real.
Hesca Casa Salsa?
Yep. There you go.
Cool.
Hesca Casa Salsa?
Is that like that fish house salsa? Is that what that is? I'm not sure.
Fish sauce house. I think.
Works for me.
It doesn't matter. It is a two-floor establishment. Upstairs is the private section, which can be rented out. Downstairs is open to the public and other restaurant patrons. The back of the building opens out onto the lake with a delightful stink of Lake Michigan. And the front has a great big fish head in a pot kind of logo that is held above the door. It looks as if it's bustling. Everything seems normal. There's no problem that you can see from the roadside as you pull up outside of the building.
It's like our work here is done.
Seems covered.
Cypher, what did the update tell us about? Did they tell us what kind of supernatural we're talking about here?
Did they tell us what kind of supernaturals we're dealing with?
Oh, you're asking me? Sure, yes. A class 3 quasi-aquatic manifestation.
Class 3 quasi-aquatic manifestation.
Hmm.
So it's Creed from the Black Lagoon. Yeah. All right, well, if anyone smells more fishy than they normally would, just give a shout-out, all right? What team? So I guess going inside... Well, first of all, like we haven't gone inside yet, yes?
No. There's, like, ample parking. So.
So, I guess what we park and go inside, then.
Sounds like a plan. And shoot it.
Yeah.
What are you currently dressed like? Do you look like the people who would show up to destroy supernatural creatures, or do you look like mildly discomforted patrons of a fish sauce restaurant?
I like to think Ursula fits in everywhere she goes. With the hammer.
Oh, time of day. It is It's about 8 o'clock at night.
Huh. There's nothing
else. Well, it's not like we're not in our prom attire, you know. I mean, like, aren't we still in... Isn't this Detroit?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello. Again.
We're back. Oh, that's embarrassing.
For a long time.
Yeah, we did. I don't even know where you guys left off, but we're at an Italian restaurant now.
Let's catch up.
That's awesome. All right, so...
Italian restaurant called Pesca Casa Salsa on the shores of Lake Michigan. It is frequented by dock workers and other people of low repute. But in the real world, dock workers are great people, and we shouldn't say anything bad about them.
Right.
There is a large woman at the front desk. Everyone has shown up in their van, and they're going inside. There's apparently a cover-up that needs to be done here, and the cover-up is of some kind of semi-quasi-aquatic manifestation, according to the cipher's notes. So far, all you see is people eating fish and seafood inside a dark, gloomy, smelly restaurant building of approximately half a century in age.
Hmm.
But you like a table.
Sorry, one more thing before we kind of like launch in that, which I awfully really want to do. Are we sure that... Has the other one been posted? Because I'm looking on the Demon Hunters, or assume the Dead Gentleman's site, and I don't see it, the new link.
I new just link. Posted on Facebook.
Thank you.
Working on at least the Demon Hunters Twitter.
There we go.
In the meantime.
Thank you.
Yes, could we get a table with a view?
What view would you like? Would you like view of back or view of front?
Front.
Sounds good. By the way, she does not sound Italian.
Is that because you don't sound Italian?
I can do a possible Italian accent as well as a Kiwi can, but not this time. She is definitely Slavic of some distinction.
Ma'am, you sound like you come from New Zealand, possibly?
That's strange. I'm actually from Russian state of Georgia.
Oh, my mistake,
It's no problem.
So I've heard this place is quite a happening place of late.
Everything you have heard is correct. Look at how we are jumping and leaping and enjoying ourselves.
So yeah, what are the chances we get a table of four?
We have only one left. The one over there. You can see outside of building. There is car park. You can also see a thing that works on dock, the crane-like object. You can see that too. Mm-hmm. I bring you menus. She shoves you in there, like forces you into the building. You move past lots of very smelly people. It's all a thing. You haven't had any dinner yet, so this is great. But nothing to be covered up here unless you want to cover up an eyesore on the spot of the, you know, country. But locals seem to like it.
We're going to need more than three agents.
Cypher?
Yes.
You want to do some kind of scan so we can roll dice?
Yes, I do.
Cool.
Is there a way that I can scan to maybe check the biology of the patrons?
Yes, you could try that. You've got multiple functions with your visual specs.
Wonderful. That would be, and I'm going to do it... is it noticeable when I do that?
No, it doesn't have kind of a red light flashing around the room scanning it like you might imagine in movies.
All right. Then I will do a quick scan.
You have to stand up and turn around 360. That's the only problem.
Alright. I will.
Don't mind her. She's just odd.
I'll place my hands on the table and stand up and say, "I'm going to search for the restroom," and then I will just roll my full spectrum optics.
Okay.
Are any of the patrons overly wet for some reason?
They seem sweaty.
I have a total of 16.
Great. Oh, you had to get a 10, so you did that so well. There are four kinds of actions, and they are overcome an obstacle, attack, defend, and create an advantage. If you recall this from last time we played, you're basically trying to either create an advantage, which means you make a new aspect that you can tag later, or you're trying to overcome some kind of obstacle that is preventing you from doing something else. So I think this is not that. I think it's an advantage creation thing. The way this works, you have made an aspect which we'll call Bioscan, and because you rolled 5 or more above what you had to get, then you get 2 free invocations of this aspect as if you had faith dice already placed on the aspect, okay?
Awesome.
Mm.
So you can say, "I want to roll," and you can include those dice in as part of your roll next time if you're using a Bioscan information as part of your action.
Okay.
But also you find that information. I mean, it's not just here's a piece of paper with Bioscan written on it. Part of the way the actions work, you should find something out as a result of rolling the dice. So what you find is that everybody in here is not entirely human.
Oh.
Never mind, and I'll sit back down. Nobody here is fully human.
Okay.
So we eat dinner first and shoot them later?
So they're all like a different looking people. I mean, they don't look all the same, but they all have the same kind of thick, somewhat glistening power to them, sort of like a complexion that looks like they've either been working out too much before they came here, or the fish sauce is too spicy, and they're sweating a lot. Actually, the fish sauce is apparently very spicy, but it's not the only reason they're sweating. So,
are we gonna? Sorry.
Go.
Oh, okay. Actually, maybe I should I should ask Vlad this. Do you know this? Or is anyone watching us, or in any way? Are we have eyes on us right now?
Let me check. Cypher, where did you say that bathroom was?
I'll just point.
Ah, thank you.
Which approach are you trying to use here?
Well,
he'll slowly get up and turn around.
I am being very clever about looking around. Plus, I am preparing stomach for spicy fish sauce.
Does that mean purging it?
Purging.
Okay, I'll let you.
Just
have...
imagining that move, by the way, just kind of like this really professional kind of spy kind of fella just. Getting up, spinning around the room, trying to be as nonchalant, but I want to see how that word played out.
No, I'm actually going to like walk over to the restroom and, you know, maybe pass gas on the way just to smell it.
As a highly trained spy.
Is that the test? Like, so if you pass gas and they don't look up, then you know that they're watching us or something?
Right.
it's pretty smooth.
So how about clever social engineering to get some reactions, but also just kind of get a look around the room and see if anyone follows me with their eyes as I go to the bathroom.
Okay.
All right. So I rolled some. Okay, I got 9 on the two dice.
You know what you might want to do?
Demon die. All right, we're going for a demon die. That's a 5, so that's 14.
Fantastic. All right. Well, you needed a 10, you got a 14.
I actually represented the flatulence.
Okay.
Hands, Steven.
This kind of action, I guess, was, you know, also maybe creating an advantage, I would say. Like I said, sometimes you don't really know what the action's for. Like, you don't know if you want to do an advantage creation or overcome an obstacle. I think, in general, it's cool to create aspects that you can use later, even if you don't use them. So, what are we going to call this? This is kind of a threat assessment, perhaps?
Sure. Work in the room.
Work in the room, yes, very good. So let's put work in the room up there as an aspect you can tag, and we'll give you a faith die on there as a free tag first, too. That's great. While you're doing that, you notice that a number of the people, especially the younger-looking ones near the bar of the restaurant, all turn and follow you as you leave and head towards the bathroom. It's like 4 of those guys. And you count, do a quick head count. There's 15 people in here as well as those 4 at the bar.
So we won't be having the point I see.
So what was that?
I said we won't be having the borscht after all.
No. Well, it's a Thai restaurant, so no borscht.
Oh, it's a Thai restaurant? Oh, I'm sorry.
Italian.
Italiano.
Your Russian accent was like...
We don't have any borscht.
What about that guy?
All right. Jimmy, what about yourself?
Everyone keeps talking about the bathroom. Now Ursula has to actually go, so she gets up and heads to the bathroom.
It's right. A group bathroom thing.
So at the table is Jack and Cypher.
Yep.
In the bathroom is Doop and Ursula. Right?
Sure.
Which is a great time for Jim to walk in.
To the bathroom? Jim.
Silent Jim leaves the bathroom as Vlad approaches it.
Well, watch where you're going.
He just looks at you.
All right.
Don, it appears...
That's a difficult thing to have Silent Jim say. Just like, you know, like, said Silent Jim. Right? Like, you know, just...
This is a row 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Row 7 seems to be on the case in this location, and all I will tell you is that there is imminent danger, and you were not leaving the bathroom that you left before. You went into a different bathroom.
So do I recognize Penland Jim, or do I see him?
I don't think anyone else does.
Okay. I catch his eye and have him come over to our table. And I assume he sits down.
We all see your pretty picture, Don. Let's play.
He looks at you from across the room.
Oh, okay. Boy.
Yeah, and then, so I do the same thing that I did before about having him come over to the table.
He comes over. Okay. After a pause like that.
Right. After finishing his tweet, apparently, I guess.
Jim, there is a significant ambient threat here, and it is not something you can pinpoint, but you know that within probably the next minute, there might be some sort of eruption of mega violence.
That's about how much time it'll take Ursula to get out of the bathroom.
Pretty much.
So, Cam, is that a feed that Jim has in his ear, or does he need to know what's going on, or did you just catch him up? What was that exactly?
That was just me telling him.
I know what I need to know.
Yes.
Got it.
Bishop.
So,
you are.
Were you supposed to meet us here?
Are you carrying?
Am I what?
With child.
Am I carrying? it's not my time yet. So, Jim, I didn't know that you were going to be here. Were you supposed to meet us here? Like, what's going on? Do you know something we don't?
Get ready for a fight.
Flush.
Yes. All right. As soon as Ursula steps out of the bathroom, the whole place goes nuts. Everyone, all these people, step up out of their seats, and they kind of like shake their heads a little bit, and as they do, like gills flap open on the sides of their necks, and their lips roll back, and they've got sharp looking like sharky type teeth.
Oh.
Yes.
Was this all triggered because of the flush of wasting water or something?
As far as you know, yes. That's exactly the reason why it all happens.
Okay. I take my water glass and pour it out on the floor.
Slifer knows, however, that what was probably happening was that they were sizing you up as you were sizing them up. And the appearance of Jim has probably twigged them that something amiss is amiss. The big Russian woman has stepped in, and she looks even larger, as if she's kind of like slowly morphing herself into some kind of Black Lagoon-looking Russian creature.
Mm.
And she yells out, "We are not here for your entertainment."
Surely not. What are you here for?
You are on the menu tonight.
Oh, thank you for making things perfectly clear. Great.
I would like to spend.
You know what? I'm just fine now.
Cam?
Yes, Don.
I would like to spend a faith die to invoke my aspect. I'm motherfucking Silent Jim.
Very good.
And I would like to appear at the front door and close it and take a crowbar out of my coat and lock it.
It is done.
Let it be written.
I'm going to...
Dinner is served!
We don't need to make a roll for that because it's not going to produce anything but a fictional positioning thing, so... You're over by the door where you just locked it.
Okay.
Ursula, you're over by the bathrooms, which is, as we've described, near the bar. And the rest of you are in a central table surrounded by other tables at which are standing fish monsters.
And where's the big woman?
She's right next to Jim, actually, because he like appeared there.
All right.
Jim turns to her and says... No one gets out.
And she says, that was the plan. And she has, like, webbed claw hands up at his face. All right, I'm going to have it so that Jim is the one who goes first, and then per our usual initiative sequence, Jim picks who's next, and okay. then next person picks, and so on. Don't forget, there are 15 plus 4, there's 15 normal type fish people, and 4 super heavy, scary ones, plus right. The Russian fish wife.
Right.
So when you pick someone to go next, you can pick one of the mob, you can pick one of the 4 guys, or I'm going to treat them all as the same round of initiative, or the fishwife, she's separate too.
Sounds good.
Cool.
All right. I will quickly pull out 2 ginormous pistols and shoot her in the face.
Sounds like an attack to me.
Yep. Using my quick and my combat and tactics.
Her defense is a 10.
That is going to be a 14.
So the difference is 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
I cross off one of my minor conditions. She has now been, did you shoot her with bullets in the face?
Yeah.
Yes, she is, tis but a scratch is what her condition is called.
Okay. Tough fish.
She has the same number of conditions available to her as you guys do normally. The Mooks guys, they get 1, and that's it.
And okay.
They only get a 5. If you do more than 5 points to them, they're out.
All right. Let's have the mob boss guys, whatever, go next.
What, the heavies?
Yeah, the heavies.
All right, there's 4 of them. 2 of them are going after Ursula. And 1 is going for Jack. And 1 is going for Vlad. Nobody is going for the Cypher. So, Ursula, you get to roll defense actions twice for me. Their attack is going to be a 15 at you.
I don't know what this means.
So,
I don't know that Ursula has ever had to defend.
I know.
defense.
The 2 of them are attacking you simultaneously, so to defend against that, you can make a roll, and a single roll will defend against it. If they beat you, or if you get less than them, they get to do damage to you.
Okay. What am I rolling, though?
So you're rolling a defense. You pick which approach is going to be your way you're defending yourself, and which discipline. Okay. Probably combat tactics, I guess.
All right. Forceful combat and tactics?
Yep.
That is a 21.
That is a lot.
And nope, that's not right. That's a 19.
All right. In that case, I'm going to roll my demon die that you gave me. If they get more than 4, let's see. Oh, look, a 5. You take 1 point of stress, which you must somehow suck up with a condition.
All right.
So they're slashing at you with their claws. They're just kind of, well, they're not really doing that. They're kind of jumping on you and pounding and being up in your face. So this was a minor condition. We'll call it, like, you know, battered or something.
All right.
Annoyed.
Annoyed. And, okay. You know what? See, the reason why sometimes I make you roll the dice instead of me rolling the dice is that you feel like you're more in charge of your own destiny, but maybe that is not necessarily the case. And I'm making it easy on myself by saying, here, I'm rolling a 15 and you're rolling a whatever. But how about I get a defense roll from Jack, please? And I will try and beat him with my roll.
And what would I roll for a defense roll?
You pick which kind of approach makes the most sense for how you try and get out of the way.
quick.
Quickly, and it's probably combat tactics, unless you have a way to describe Well, I mean, you might be using your electrokinesis somehow, for example.
Oh, okay. All right. So, so I have to basically do an approach and a discipline in order to get out of this.
Yeah, you're rolling the defense, okay. And I have to beat what you roll.
Gotcha. Well, I am going to quickly, as lightning, perhaps, dodge out of the way.
Okay.
And maybe try to displace myself a little bit. So that's a d6. Max.
Nice.
So that will be 14.
So that means I have to roll the beat deck, right? So I roll my 2d8. I get 12. I fail. This guy, he's runs forward. He's wearing kind of a overcoat and a weird looking hat. It just barrels forward at you, and as his face sort of rips open to reveal big fishy face, sure. You zip out of the way, and you're not even there anymore. He just slams into the table and sends napkins and that nice little table presentation thing in the middle of it. Just goes all over the place. But you're safely out of the way. Jim, I guess, right? No?
Vlad,
right. One goes against Vlad. How are you defending yourself?
Well, I'm actually going to use my trusty folding pocket sickle, which looks a little bit like a fish hook. I'll be using flashy.
Yes.
And combat and jack.
You're going to draw a lot of aggro with this hook-like thing you got going on.
Oh, yeah. That's 14.
Okay. Right, so he charges at you. I seize the hook. And, oops, I got a 9. He gets about 3 feet from you and then stops looking at the thing. It's like, ah! You can smell his weird fishy breath.
I know of this.
All right. That means it's time for me to pick someone else to go next. I'm going to pick the fishwife to go next. I think that Jim needs to get attacked. Well, you did pick her, right? Wasn't she first? No, she wasn't first.
No, right. She wasn't first.
So she responds to your attack, which is not at her, so she decides to try and cut your face to pieces. She gets a d10 and a d8. If I can find it. Here you go.
Okay. I'm going to quickly and trench coat.
Yeah, quickly trench coat.
I'm going to quickly trench coat my defense. That is a 15.
I love the fact that you've got a stack of trench coat. That's the best. This is officially how it is in the game now. I roll an 8. You are not there where she attacks.
Of course I'm not.
So, Don, can you describe what happens when you one quickly trench coats?
I just wasn't there.
It's clearly faster than slowly trench coating.
Yep.
Is it kind of like you appear to look like you're looking for something, and then like you're not there anymore, or?
It's different.
So, if we take a nod from the comic, Jim sort of like suddenly like blends into the shadows and is gone.
Okay.
Yeah. The fishwife even doubts that she saw you there in the first place. That's how good it was.
Maybe I shot myself in the face.
I'm gonna have Jack Bishop go next.
You're gonna have me go next?
Yes, go next.
Okay. So, I'm gonna take out my staff thing, the aluminum staff thing. Oh wait, no, it's silver. No, it's aluminum. Anyway, and flashily
trying to... Hold on, we need to know the exact metallurgy.
Well, I want to be consistent in what it was. But it's aluminum with silver inlay, so shut up.
Right.
I pop that out and flashily, you know, try to do this sort of sweeping figure eight thing to, side question. There's a lot of water on the ground near me because I poured out my glass. Now, is there water on the floor as well? Because someone just opened it up?
Well, if you want there to be, sure. I think that makes total sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and these sweating kind of like fishy-like creatures, are they wearing boots? Are they like kind of like exuding this kind of fishy, slippery, slurry business?
Yes, they exhibit the kind of fishy, slurry business you'd expect from fish people to exhibit, you know.
Oh, fantastic. And them being kind of like out of their natural habitat and on land, they might not necessarily have the surest footing. So I'm going to go ahead and tripping some fools,
that's a good attack. Okay, so here's something else to keep in mind. They've got an aspect on them, which I am going to reveal to you, and that is slippery and fishy, I guess, is that aspect, which means you can tag that yourself with a faith die and add one of your faith dice to attack them, just as if you were spending one of your own aspects. So you're exploiting their fishy slipperiness.
Totally.
I mean, but I only have three faith die this entire game. Is that correct?
You'll get more. You'll get more.
Oh, okay.
Just roll one on your dice. You'll get more.
In that case, I'll take the fishy, or the, take the faith die, and I'm taking advantage of the fishiness.
Yes.
And with what I said was I was doing it as flashy as possible.
Yeah.
And
it's combat and tactics, though, right?
I don't have combat and tactics as a discipline.
That's right. I think we use for you. It's going to be unassigned.
Oh. Horse.
You're not used to doing this sort of stuff, I guess.
Could have just shocked them. You had to get fancy.
But that it's a fleshy, it's a D10 a lot, right? So that's
cool. I can't just pull out the shockiness like right from the jump. Come on. Oh, I got a one.
That's good. You get a faith die back.
Hurrah!
Wait, what'd you get the one on?
I got the one on the D4, which is the unassigned.
That's perfect. That's why you roll D4s, because they get ones more often. Yeah. So you get the faith die.
Well, all right, cool. So, a total of 14.
14. Cool. I think that's a hit. In fact, that's 4 points of damage. Are you attacking, like, a whole bunch of them at once?
I'm attacking at least two, and I'm essentially trying to hit their legs to knock them out from under them and make them fall down.
Yeah, you could attack a mob. This has been designed as a mob, so you can just whack at it.
Cool.
And you can take multiple of these minor characters down at once.
All right.
And it's mostly just decorative, like, description, because honestly, you know, whatever. So you're swinging this thing around, tripping people up, and you're doing damage to the mob as opposed to doing damage to a single person, which is great. So you need to knock them all down. A whole bunch of these guys fall down around you, and they're scrabbling to get to their feet, but you've just used up their one condition. So they take a condition of tripped, and then you can use that condition on them next time you attack, or anyone else can tag it as well.
Great.
You've made it easier to hurt them, is what I'm saying.
Excellent.
Okay. Who went away? Dawn went away.
Yeah, Dawn. Yeah.
Oh, is he trying to kill us? Because we're live, so we'll see how long this lasts.
Which is strange.
Yeah, Kugo.
I thought maybe we'd need him. Oh my goodness. Don totally quickly trench coated.
Yes, he did. You get to pick who goes next to Jack, so you should pick one of the other characters.
All right, sounds good. I'm gonna pick the Cypher.
Cypher.
Wonderful. I'm going to scan the fish lady to find any weak points that she might have, and I'm going to use the bioscan trait that I picked up earlier.
Cool. Are you trying to create a new trait to use it against her?
Yes.
Okay. So this is creating an advantage.
All right. And I'm going to do that quickly. That's the same. It'll be fine.
Well, yeah. Quickly and Cypher.
Yep. Oh, I have 9. I have 12.
12?
Mm-hmm.
You need a 10. So you create the thing. You see that she's got a strong weakness probably to electrical shocks.
All right. I will quickly but point it to her.
She's resistant to fire and impact.
I will point to her and look at Jack and say, shock her.
All right. I'm only 32.
Oh, that's excellent. Oh, dear. All right. John, who goes next?
Ursula, and I will be right
back. All right.
Okay. So how many of these guys are hanging out by the bar?
There were 4, but 2 were going for you. 1 was going for Jack, and 1 was going for Vlad.
Oh, good. Okay. So,
you have 2.
I have 2.
And there's the sort of ambient room full of other guys that Jack is currently worrying about.
Well, I am going to call down the legacy of the sledge here and just start swinging like crazy, hoping I hit anything.
Awesome.
So, going forceful, combat and tactics, and I'm going to invoke an aspect. So,
let me roll the defense for you first and tell you how bad it is.
All right.
You must beat a 6.
Okay. Well, I got a 13.
That is a bunch. All right. 13 is how much more than 6? Let's see.
Seven.
They have to use, well, what the one you attack has to use one of his minor, and then one of the, well, you knock the crap out of him. So, the sledge medics into the guy's face, and it kind of makes a big round, flattened thing with big fish lips, and all his teeth break.
We're going to make all some right. chowder out of you.
Oh, terrible.
Oh, they don't taste good? All right.
No. Joke was great. Taste is horrible. All right, Jimmy, you take one out. You've got, who's going next?
I guess Vlad is up.
I'm up. All right. I've got this sickle in my hand right now.
Yes.
It seems only appropriate. Can I, I'm looking for something hanging from the ceiling, like lights or a beam or something.
Yeah, there's plenty of that stuff.
Oh, did we lose Chris?
Ceiling.
Say it again. You're very jerky.
No. Yeah. Sorry. Whoop.
Yeah. Sorry.
Wow.
Wow.
I think we might have an echo on my stuff done.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hang on.
Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you.